Hello, and welcome back to Habits into Health. This is Michaeland Conley. I'm the host of this podcast show. You know, every one of us, every single human being has habits, and we're served by most of them. But problems can get into the mix for many of us. So ask yourself if this sounds like you. You've learned how to look good on the outside, but that doesn't match up with how you feel on the inside. And then whatever is causing you to feel bad on the inside just won't go away no matter what you do. In addition, to try to stay in control of all of that, you get caught in habits and behaviors, anything from substances to activities to way of thinking about yourself or relating to others. And maybe they work some of the time, but they don't work all the time and they lead to bigger problems. So you end up feeling trapped no matter what. And of course, you could say, I used to have those problems, but I managed that. But the thing is, even though I took care of those problems, I thought it was going to fix my life, and I'm still not happy. So what's that all about? And you might say, I don't have any problem habits, but I sure do know someone who does, and I don't know what to do about it. I care about them, and I feel stuck. And also, I want you to know that this show is also for you if you've made it to the other side of your problem habit. That's what we call the recovering side. And in that case, then you probably know it's important to keep hold of what we call a healthy fear of slipping back into your unhealthy habits. So it's always good to have reinforcement. And this show brings good reminders around that. That way you can keep on top of your commitment to growth. Today I'm going to offer some ways to sort out whether self-help groups are a good option for you in dealing with a problem habit. But we're going to start first with our usual habits and health experiential exercise. On this show, I say, let your body lead so your mind doesn't have to. And we take a few moments to support you in slowing down and attuning to yourself through the body. This is a practice that grows on itself, meaning the more you give to it, the more it gives back to you. And the more you repeat it, the more you get back to. So if this is your first time on the show, welcome aboard. I hope this is something that serves you. It also helps when we slow ourselves down to focus the mind as well. Today we're going to play a little bit with sound in the exercise, so I'm actually recording today without my headset so that you can better hear any background noise that happens to come in. Plus, I'm going to add some sound to the exercise as well. And I'm sure that you're going to be hearing sounds in your own environment. Let's start by having you notice what you're hearing right now in this moment. Obviously, you can hear the sound of my voice, but maybe also something like an airplane overhead, or the sound of a door closing. I can hear a vehicle driving by. Maybe there's a dog barking or trees rustling in the wind. I have a little clock that's ticking here in the room where I am. And maybe there's music in the background. Just listen without searching for sound or straining to hear. Now in a moment, I'm going to ring a bell. And when that happens, I invite you to let the sound enter you. Without strain, listen until the sound has diminished into no sound. Now place your hand on your upper chest and say something, anything. You could say your name or read a billboard you're looking at or the title of a book that you can see. Feel the sound in your chest as you use your voice. And maybe even take a big yawn and create a big sigh. Ah, that's right. Just feel the sound in your chest. Do it again. And now try something else. Choose a word and say it without smiling. Now smile and say the word again. Just notice if there's a difference in the feeling of this word when you smile or don't smile. Say a short sentence that's a statement of fact, like the sun is shining or the temperature is cold. Now rework that sentence into a question. Is the sun shining? Is it cold? Feel the difference in your chest. In a few moments, you'll hear three bells. Let those enter you, and we'll shift our attention toward today's topic when the sound has dissipated. I wonder what your experience is of being with yourself in this way today, and I invite you to continue being attentive to the sounds that you encounter in the rest of your day. And before we continue with our topic, it's time for station identification. You're listening to Habits into Health, which is the name of this podcast. My name is Michael Ann Conley, and I'm a holistic therapist, and for almost 30 years I've been helping people, especially women, shed the shame and blame of serious addictions. I've learned that all behavior patterns have common pathways, and that some of the methods for dealing with serious addictions are also useful for any problem habit, especially what I call hidden habits that lead to bigger behavior problems. I developed Habits and Health programs to support you in understanding what habits are all about and to help you free yourself from so much pain. Come on over to habitsintohealth.com and you can explore other podcasts and articles. And if you're ready to take a new approach to a problem habit, ask for a free self-assessment questionnaire on the website as well. And you can stay tuned because I'm developing programs and information every week. Today's topic is about self-help programs. Now, if you're wanting to turn around a problem habit, there are good reasons to hang out with other people who want the same for themselves. This is, in fact, what happened on Mother's Day in 1935 when two drunks got together in Akron, Ohio. They agreed to meet for 15 minutes, and they were hoping that they'd stand a better chance of staying sober together than either of them could do alone. They ended up talking for, about 6 hours, and neither of them drank during that entire time. And that was a brand new experience for one of them, and a relatively new experience for the other. And although the new guy relapsed a month later, it was the last time he drank alcohol for the rest of his life. In the past 78 years, and especially over the last 30 years, the personal growth path that has emerged from their conversation has been so helpful that many people who don't have drinking problems said, well, hey, what about me? And a number of other self-help programs have started as a result. I'm thinking of a day in 1984 when I was in my student practicum at a women's recovery center, and I walked into the director's house. She was a delightful lady, and we liked each other a lot, so we would joke and tease with each other and have fun. And we also had something else in common. So I looked at her desk piled high with papers, and I said, Janet, we need to start a Workaholics Anonymous meeting for people like you and me. And she laughed, and she said, yes, we should, but I've got too much to do. I wouldn't have time to get to meetings. Well, what we didn't know is that Workaholics Anonymous had actually started a year before, in 1983, for overworkers and people who avoided work through procrastination. Still going today. In fact, there are self-help groups for just about everybody. Wikipedia lists more than 30 self-help groups based on the 12 steps, which started in 35 by those two alcoholics, Bill W. and Dr. Bob, as Alcoholics Anonymous. Most of us have heard about AA. Well, AA now exists in more than 90 countries around the world, and it grew out of a Christian fellowship called the Oxford Group back in the early 1900s. And even though AA and the other anonymous programs are increasingly secular, those early connections to Christianity led some people who didn't like to associate sobriety with religion to create their own self-help groups without any reference to God. And that includes groups like Women for Sobriety, Smart Recovery, Rational Recovery, and others, which I have actually posted a link on habitsintohealth.com that you can go to find out more. There are even 12-step self-help groups for people who don't think there's enough God in the anonymous programs. And you can find out more at ChristianRecoveryCoalition.com. So that's the background. Now on to you. When I explore with my clients about whether they should join a self-help group, I consider a number of factors. And here are some questions you can ask yourself. How long has your habit been a problem? The longer it's been, the more likely you need some kind of support over and above trying to do it on your own. If it's been less than a couple of years, professional counseling might be successful in helping you get perspective and turn things around, but self-help groups could be very, very beneficial as well. Second question is, how long have you been trying to turn around your problem habit without success? This is a slightly different question. If your problem has been around for more than a couple of years, and you've been trying to fix things for more than a year, even if you succeeded for a little while, but ended up stuck again, then it's more likely that attending a self-help group could be really helpful for you. Weekly therapy, which is the standard, will be a good choice too. But it's possible, actually, that neither self-help nor therapy are going to be enough by themselves. And your best choice could be both. If your problem's been around for more than 5 years, self-help groups could be enough, but maybe not optimal. Even seeing a therapist once a week might not be enough either. So depending on your problem habit, you might better be served by going to an organized service at an agency, a hospital, or some other program. If there aren't any programs that deal with your problem habit, then probably going to see a professional counselor or a therapist is your best first bet. And then you can work with that person to find out what kinds of self-help or community groups might serve you. Third question, how big have the consequences been around your problem habit? Has it led to legal problems, job loss or the threat of a job loss, conflict in your marriage or other relationships, financial problems, health issues? The truth is, the bigger the consequences, the more likely it is that getting support from others who've experienced similar things will help you get a good start. And self-help groups are a great way to start, whether you go a 12-step route or a non-12-step route. In addition, you might need professional support from an expert around your consequences, so a lawyer, career advisor, marriage or relationship counselor, financial planner, or a medical professional if you've got health issues. Whomever you choose, though, that person should also have background and preferably expertise in working with people who have your problem habit. Otherwise, their advice is likely to be incomplete. The last question that I ask is, how many close personal friends do you have who don't do the same behavior as you, whether or not it's a problem for them? This one is really key. If the only friends you have are people you do your problem habit with or around, then you probably need to be around others whose behaviors don't match, or around others who are dealing with the same problem and supporting each other in managing it. That old saying, birds of a feather flock together, goes for people with problems as well as for people who are creating a life without those problems. On the other hand, if you're socially isolated, meaning you only talk about sports and the weather with everyone in your life, except maybe for one person, then you might find it easier to start exploring your problem habit in a more private place, like with a professional counselor or a therapist. But again, you want to find someone who really knows a lot about your problem habit, or it won't be the best use of your time or money. So that's just a quick look at whether self-help is for you. In the future, I'll explore a little bit more about different ways that you can get help and have it be effective. It is time for me to sign off for now. So if you're ready to take a new approach to a problem, habit, or addiction, you can come to habitsintohealth.com and ask for a free self-assessment questionnaire. This is a form of self-help, trying it on your own. You can also explore the podcast articles and other resources at the website. That's habitsintohealth.com. And they can help you start turning around your old habits into healthy possibilities for your future. Remember to start small and be kind to yourself along the way. You've been listening to Habits Into Health, and this is Michael Ann Conley. I am here to help you stop feeling so out of control over your unhealthy habits, wondering what you're doing wrong or what's wrong with you, and to help you start creating a life where you feel just as powerful on the inside as you look on the outside. Thanks so much for joining me.